Holy Scriptures, the speaking of the faith of many of God's people. And in that passage of the faith of, I want us to always remember that it is the object of the faith. It's the object of God's people's faith. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. So in seeking Him who is the object of the faith of God's people, let's ask the Lord's blessing as we consider this passage. Our Father, we thank You this evening for the blessed time that we have to call upon You, and we thank You that we've had this blessed time to be able to assemble ourselves and to meet in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I ask You now, Lord, to bless this time together. Bless it as we hear from You. Lord, bless our worship. And these things we ask for Christ's sake. Amen. The book of Daniel is opened in an amazing way. And it's opened in such a way that we find the trial of Daniel's faith being tested immediately. Now, Daniel was one of the captives in Babylon, and he was allowed by the Lord to be placed in a trying situation, very tough, very, very trying. That's the only way I know how to say it. He was brought over and he was placed in a situation where he was going to have to wait upon the Lord. I want us to look. Daniel chapter 1, verses 3 to 7. Being one of the captives, the scripture says, "And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, understanding, science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego." Now, the names of these men, they're Hebrew names. Daniel meant a God of judgment, or God is my judge. Hananiah was the Lord of grace, or the Lord is gracious to me. Mishael meant the strength of God, and Azariah meant the Lord is my help. Now, four men that were picked out from among the captives. These were going to be trophies for the king that had captured them. He was going to get these fellas and was going to just school them and get them all prettied up and show them off. He said, "Now this is the kind of captives that I've got out of the land of Egypt, of Israel." And the names that were given to these men were names that had reference to God's honor and to the mercy of God to His people. That names that would keep in memory the Lord's covenant, grace, mercy toward His people. But in Babylon, the names that were given to these men were changed. And the reason that they changed them is to give a new twist to the gods, to the little g god that were being served in Babylon. Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar, and what it meant was Bel, which was the name I found out of a false god, favors you. Bel favors you. Hananiah, which was his Hebrew name, was changed to Shadrach, and Shadrach means the inspiration of the sun, or God, the author of evil. Mishael's name was changed to Meshach, and it meant he who belongs to the goddess Shadrach. And then Azariah was changed to Abednego, which meant the servant of Nego, which was a false god. Now, these men whose names were changed, I mean, it was the creme de creme of the nation of Israel, changed their names and gave them these names of false gods, and they were going to be fed the king's food. They were going to be fed what the king ate. The scripture says in chapter 1, verses 8 to 16, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall you make me endanger my head to the king. And said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he said, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse or porridge to eat, water to drink, then let our countenances be looked upon before thee in the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in that matter and proved them 10 days, and at the end of 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and he gave them pulse. Now that grace that was shown from the Lord, not only to Daniel, but also to the head of the eunuchs, because what he was doing was putting himself in a position where the king didn't like what he did, found out, he could lose his head. But the watchful eye of the Lord was over his people. And even in the pressure, the temptation of the world to set forth, I'm going to flatter you, I'm going to give you all of these things that the world have, even that meat and that wine of the king presented what the world offers as sustaining food. But to the believer, the Lord supplies the bread of heaven, the wine of Christ's blood is our daily portion. That was the beauty, the picture. Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Believer, feast upon the portion that Almighty God has supplied, Christ and Him crucified. And according to our Lord's promise, you'll never hunger, you'll never thirst. That was the trial of Daniel. Set him apart by this heathen king. Going to fatten him up, make him prettier. That'd be a trophy. Gave him a new name. Gave him a name that the king decided to give him. Daniel purposed in his heart to not defile himself. Secondly, let's look at the wisdom of Daniel. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream that the Lord removed from his memory. And he did this in order to introduce Daniel into Nebuchadnezzar's presence. Now, no one of the king's court had the ability to either relate the dream or to give the interpretation of the dream. And therefore, the king's wrath rested upon every one of them. All of them. All of the wise men. On which Daniel and his three friends from Israel were part of that group. So the Lord was pleased to teach Daniel, give Daniel some wisdom as a means of bringing back to the Lord's honor, bringing back the setting forth of God's grace and showing this heathen king who God truly was. The scripture says in chapter 2 and verse 12 to 18, it says, "For this cause the king was angry concerning his dream, very furious, commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon, and the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. And Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, 'Why is the decree so hasty from the king?' And Arioch made the thing known to Daniel, and Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon." The Lord was going to show mercy to these four men. God was going to preserve His people. But He was going to be inquired of. That's what the Lord set forth in Ezekiel 36:37. "All these things shall I do for you, yet for these things will I be inquired of." Now when the Lord is pleased to grant to His people, to give to His people the desires of their heart, it is the Lord that puts it upon their heart to pray for it. It is the desire of our heart to hear from Him and asking Him that He might show mercy to us. And this is what happened. The Lord moved upon Daniel to ask for the interpretation of this dream. Well, it says in verse 19 through 23, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, 'Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His, and He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of Thee, for Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Oh, the mercy of Almighty God to impress His people for that which He's pleased to ask. And the thing that Daniel did is he thanked the Lord first. Now here was a king, and he was a mighty king. Nebuchadnezzar was a tyrant. And Daniel, I know, would be tempted as soon as the Lord gave him the interpretation to run in there and say, I got it. First thing he did, he thanked the Lord. He knew that his wisdom was from above. He knew that Almighty God had given him the truth concerning this dream. Well, the scripture says in verse 25 to 28, "Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, 'I found a man of the captives of Judah, It will make known unto the king the interpretation. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I've dreamed, seen, and the interpretation thereof? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king, unto the king Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these. And then Daniel revealed the dream and the interpretation of it, verse 31 to 33. Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image. This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. The image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part iron and part clay. And no doubt, I'm sure, when I read the commentators on this and try to get some insight into what they thought it was, there's no doubt that it probably was different kingdoms that might have been meant. But you know, a lot of times, if you read, they always give exact kingdoms. Well, this had to be, you know, this Assyrian, and this had to be Rome, this had to be... Well, the Scripture doesn't bear out who that was. But I can tell you for a fact that this image was truly that which opposes Almighty God. Whatever is exactly meant in those figures, that head and those arms of silver and belly and thighs of brass, whatever it means exactly, man's opposition is all cut out of the same lump. And it doesn't matter where the Scriptures are silent, it's silent. But I do know this. Whatever this represented was going to have to build to deal with this right here, verse 34, thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was a type of all that which is in opposition to Almighty God. Antichrist, that spirit that left to itself, does nothing but stand against that which is holy and just and good. And now we see that there is one, that stone cut out without hands, the Lord Jesus Christ, that would rise in the humility of Himself and Him coming into this world and living in this world and answering for all that opposes His people, giving Himself. The Scripture sets forth in verse 35, that was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together, became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them, and the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. That word became, I read that again today and I thought, when I read something like that, it became, and here I know that Almighty God, when it's referring to the Lord Jesus Christ, nothing ever started with the Lord. I had to go back and look up that word, became again, existed. That's it. That's good. And that great stone existed. A mountain filling the whole earth. So here's the wisdom of Almighty God given to Daniel to interpret, not only interpret, but give him the dream. Gave him the dream and then interpreted that dream. Now let's look at the steadfastness of Daniel. In chapter 3, now here's an amazing thing. Daniel's name is not mentioned, not set forth. Chapter 3, if I do not err on that. And Daniel, not mentioned by name, but the faith of Daniel found in the three companions of Daniel was truly tried. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. An image of gold was set up. 90 feet tall, if my addition is correct concerning the size of it, erected by Nebuchadnezzar. And all of them were commanded to bow down. When they heard the music, and they were to bow down and worship the image, and failure to do so was going to be perishable by death. And the music started, and Daniel's friends wouldn't bow. Well, they were given another chance. And the scripture says, when they were given another chance, here was their answer, given in chapter 3, verse 17 and 18. It says, if it be so, when Nebuchadnezzar told them he was going to throw them into the fire, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now here was three men resolved. You're going to bow down, Nebuchadnezzar said, when the music starts playing. And this is what they said, no, we're not. You don't bow down, I'm going to throw you in the fire. That may be. But I can tell you right now, our God's going to deliver us. He'll either keep us from the fire or He'll take us into His very presence right now. But we're not going to bow down to your image. And you know the story. They did throw those three men into that fiery furnace. The scripture says that it heated that fiery furnace, and it was so hot that it burned up the men, the guards that threw them in there. They looked in, Nebuchadnezzar looked in, and he saw a fourth one, like unto the Son of God, standing in the midst. And the only thing that was burned, according to this account, was the ropes that bound them. There was nothing about them that even smelled like fire. And Almighty God delivered these men out of the very presence in the hand of this tyrant. And at that time, Nebuchadnezzar appeared to bless the Lord. He said in verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent His angel and delivered His servants that trusted in Him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their God. Therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, and language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. I thought to myself, here was a man that Almighty God put in his place. And it was amazing to me that this king still, in arrogance, I make a decree. If anybody doesn't bow down to the God of these men, I'm going to cut you up. I'm going to make a dunghill out of your house. Boy, there's a lot of grace there, isn't it? Let me tell you, when Almighty God gives a man a heart, he'll worship. It doesn't take a decree from a king. Nebuchadnezzar appeared to give allegiance. Oh, what freedom these men had in that trial. Our God, who we serve, is able. But if He doesn't, we're not going to bow down and serve you. Well, then Nebuchadnezzar had another dream. And when he was called on to interpret this next dream, Daniel was relating over in Daniel chapter 4, verse 23. And this is what Daniel said concerning the dream, whereas the king saw a watcher and a holy one coming down from heaven and saying, hew the tree down and destroy it, yet leave the stump of the roots thereof in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beast of the field till seven times pass over him. The king saw a watcher, the Lord Jesus Christ, who watches over his people, continually comforts them in their trials. And Daniel revealed in chapter 4 the judgment of God upon Nebuchadnezzar because of the king's continual arrogance and pride. Now you would stop and you'd think Nebuchadnezzar had just in chapter 3 given this decree. He saw the deliverance of God. He saw these men thrown in that fiery furnace. He saw one likened to the Son of God walking in the midst of them. And then in chapter 4, he has this dream, and Daniel comes and reveals the dream from the Lord's revelation exactly what was going to happen. He set forth that Nebuchadnezzar, as a tree, was going to be cut down. Now let's look at Daniel chapter 4, verse 13 to 16. Here it is. I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher, and the Holy One came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said, hew down the tree, cut off his branches, shake off his leaves, scatter his fruit, let the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from his branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field. Let it be wet with the dew of heaven. Let his portion be with the beast in the grass of the field. Let his heart be changed from man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let seven times, 7 years, pass over him. And after that happened, 12 months, look at verse 28, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. King Nebuchadnezzar was the tree. Daniel said, this is the dream and this is the interpretation. You're the tree. This tree is going to be cut down. Stump's going to be left. You'll be there. But for 7 years, you're going to have the heart of a beast. You're going to be out in the field. You're going to eat grass. This is what God Almighty told Daniel to tell Nebuchadnezzar. And 12 months later, Nebuchadnezzar did just exactly what God said he was going to do, and the Lord did what he said he was going to do. Man can hear God's promise of judgment, but he will not bow unless Almighty God gives him a new heart. Verse 29, at the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake, the very one that saw the deliverance of those three men, the very one that had the dream, the very one that Daniel came and said, this is the dream. The very one that Daniel said, this is what's going to happen to you. God's going to cut you down. The king spake and said, is not this great Babylon that I built for the house of my kingdom, the house of the kingdom by the might of my power, for the honor of my majesty? And while the word was in the mouth, was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and seven times shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. And the same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men, and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers, and his nails like birds' claws. It is by the grace of God that we stand right here tonight, sit here, and you hear what I'm saying, and you understand it. It is by the grace of God that you can look and have eyes that actually sees and perceives what you're looking at. Almighty God holds every soul in His hand. And here was a man who in arrogance stood and boasted that everything that he had was at his own hand. This right here, Neil, that's the heart of man by nature. That's man. I will. I can. I have. I shall. I want us to look now at the confession of Daniel and of God's revelation to show mercy. Now what we're about to consider right here, all of the everything that I've said up until this point has led up to this point. Chapter 6, a little few verses out of chapter 6 and mostly out of chapter 9 of Daniel. But here is the heart. Here's the faith of Daniel set forth. Now Daniel, let me say this, was a man of prayer. It was for this cause, because he was a faithful, faithful man, believed God, sought the Lord, would not bow. He was just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bow to your decree. I'm not going to bow to your word, your will. I serve God. Serve Him alone. For that very reason, he was thrown into a den of lions. Daniel chapter 6, verses 1 to 6. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could not, but they could find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, "We shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God." And these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus unto him, "King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors, the princes, the counselors, the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius, sign the writing and the decree." Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime. He was a man, a faithful man, knowing that we ought to obey God rather than men. But there was a revelation that was given Daniel that was truly the revelation of all revelations. As this man sought God, prayed, was taken, captured, thrown into the lion's den, the king struggled all night thinking about what he had done. Couldn't change the decree. Came in the next morning, called to him, Daniel, are you there? He said, I'm here. King got him out, welcomed him. King told him, said, take those fellows right there and you throw them into the lion's den. Through them, their families, kids, all of them. Before they hit the ground, the lions tore them to pieces. Daniel delivered. And now we find, over the next few chapters, we find the people still in rebellion. Daniel, faithful man, faithful to God, faithful in prayer, faithful in seeking the Lord. And then over in chapter 9, we find this Daniel. The Lord directed his heart to read the Scriptures. In chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, it said, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of the years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Now, here's what he just found out. By reading the book of Jeremiah, the Lord taught Daniel how long they were going to be in Babylon. By reading the Scriptures, he found out by the revelation of the Lord that the 70 years was coming to an end. Now, here again, instead of running like he didn't run to Nebuchadnezzar to tell him what was going on, what the Lord had taught him, he stayed and thanked the Lord and blessed the Lord. Now he realizes that the 70 years of captivity is coming to an end for Israel in Babylon. And it's about up. He's read the Scriptures and he realized by books, by the number of the years, wherein the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And here's what this man did. He set his face and blessed the Lord and thanked the Lord for God putting them in Babylon all of those years. He thanked God. I want us to read verses 3 to 19 and listen to this confession of this man of God. Now, they've been in Babylon for 70 years. Captivity. He's gone through trials. Here he was, his friends thrown into that furnace. Himself thrown into the lion's den, lied on by men that wanted to kill him. Faithful, faithful. Told that he was going to be killed if they didn't teach the interpretation. This man went through years and years and years of trial. And it's coming to an end. And here's what Daniel, under the inspiration of God's Spirit, had to say in verse 3, chapter 9. I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplications with fastings, sackcloth, and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love Him and to them that keep His commandments. We've sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and from thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants, the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes, our fathers, and to all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as at this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, through all the countries whither thou hast driven them because of their trespass, that they've trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face. To our kings, to our princes, to our fathers, because we've sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we've rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which he set before us by his servants the prophets. Yea, all Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice. Therefore the curse is poured upon us, and the oath that is written in the law of Moses, the servant of God, because we've sinned against him. He hath confirmed his words which he spake against us, against our judges that judged us, by bringing upon us a great evil. For unto the whole heaven hath not been done as hath been done upon Jerusalem. As it is written in the law of Moses, all this evil has come upon us. Yet made we not our prayer before the Lord our God, that he might turn from our iniquities and understand thy truth. Therefore hath the Lord watched upon the evil and brought it upon us. For the Lord our God is righteous in all his works which he doeth, for we obeyed not his voice. And now, O Lord our God, that has brought thy people forth out of the land of Egypt with a mighty hand, and has gotten thee renown, as at this day we've sinned, we've done wickedly. O Lord, according to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and thy fury be turned away from thy city Jerusalem, thy holy mountain, because for our sins and for the iniquities of our fathers, Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. Now therefore, O our God, hear the prayer of thy servant and his supplications, and cause thy face to shine upon thy sanctuary that is desolate for the Lord's sake. O my God, incline thy ear and hear. Open thine eyes and behold our desolations, the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousnesses, but for thy great mercies. O Lord, hear. O Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. Defer not for thine own sake. O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Now you know, here was Daniel. He had just read by revelation from God that the Lord was getting ready to deliver them. The Lord was going to deliver them. The Lord had promised 70 years, you're going to be there, and I'm going to take you out. And here's Daniel asking the Lord to do what the Lord has promised he was going to do. That's true confession. We're confessing, Lord, we've gotten just exactly what we deserved. We didn't bow. We didn't serve. We didn't call. Lord, all we did was rebel against you. And Lord, now I'm asking you. I'm asking you to do. That's what he said. Lord, in that 19th verse, O Lord, hear. Lord, forgive. O Lord, hearken and do. And defer not for thine own sake, O my God, for thy city and thy people are called by thy name. Daniel was agreeing with the Lord, laying himself bare before the God of his hope. But in mercy, according to the Lord's everlasting covenant of grace, the Lord revealed to Daniel a deliverance that was only pictured, in the deliverance of Israel out of Babylon. That 70 years was a type of the deliverance from the bondage of sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In verses 20 and chapter 9 to 27, what's going to happen is Daniel was asking for the deliverance of Israel physically out of Babylon. And the Lord taught him something of true deliverance. While, verse 20, I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God for the holy mountain of my God. Yea, whilst I was speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation, about 3:00 in the afternoon, and informed me, and he talked with me, and said, O Daniel, I am now come forth to give thee skill and understanding. At the beginning of thy supplications, the commandment came forth, and I'm come to show thee, for thou art greatly beloved. Therefore, understand the matter and consider the visions. The vision. 70 weeks, or let me say this before I read any farther, and as closely as I can read the words and find the interpretation of these words, and I believe these words are true, the actual is the 70 weeks or the weeks of years. The 70 weeks of years. 490 years. Trying to take the references and see how the words are interpreted. But 70 weeks of years. 490 years are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. And here's what it is. Here's what the end of the 490 years will bring. To finish the transgression and to make an end of sins and to make reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up the vision and prophecy and to anoint the Most Holy. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and to build Jerusalem unto the Messiah, the Prince, shall be 7 weeks. 62 weeks the street shall be built again and the wall even in troublous times. And after 62 weeks shall Messiah be cut off, but not for himself and the people of the Prince. That shall come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary, and the end thereof shall be with a flood. And unto the end of the war desolations are determined, and he shall confirm the covenant with many for 1 week. And in the midst of the week he shall cause the sacrifice and the oblation to cease. And for the overspreading of the abominations he shall make it desolate, even unto the consummation. And that determined shall be poured upon the desolate. Now let me tell you what I truly feel is being set forth right here. There's a lot of numbers. There's a lot of figures and times and weeks. And it's all talking about the time that the Lord Jesus Christ will come into this world. And by the shedding of His precious blood, He's going to make an end of the iniquity of His people. He's going to come, and the Lord gave Him a time. It was 490 years. But during those times, in all of this, in verse 25 and 26 and 27, and talking about 62 weeks, it's all in multiples of 7. things that were going to come to pass. And there was going to be floods and wars and desolations. What he was saying was this: there's going to come a time when the Messiah is going to come. He's going to put away the guilt of his people. But before he comes, there's going to be calamities and chastisements. The Roman Empire was the last of them. I do know that. They were under the Roman government. But let me ask you this. With the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world that was given to Daniel, and the Lord giving him through revelation, it's going to be this much time before he comes. But prior to that time, the people, here's the encouragement, in the midst of all that you go through, he's still coming. He shall put an end to the iniquity. He shall put away the sins of his people. I even read to this point the wise men, the magi, that came. Do you know why? They were Chaldeans from Babylon. And they had this scripture right here. And the reason that they came looking at the time that they did, following the star, was because they had the promise of Daniel, the 490 years. We've seen the star. They knew the promise. They knew the promise that the Messiah was coming. That's why they were there. All through these times, they're going to be tried. God's people are going to be tested. But here's the promise. Look at chapter 12 as we come to the end of this precious book. At that time, verse 1, shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that should be found written in the book. Although the times are going to be trying, chastisement, God's people are going to be delivered. And at the appointed time, the Lord is going to judge this world in absolute righteousness. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. And they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. At the time appointed, the Lord is going to judge all the earth. Now look at verse 2. Many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. But of the details of the second coming and the final judgment, Almighty God has been pleased to be silent on that which is actually going to take place. Look at these last verses. Chapter 12, verses 4 to 13. Here's the Lord, chapter 12. He's told Daniel, Michael is going to stand up. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is going to be judgment. All the people of this world are going to be judged. But what's going to happen exactly? Verse 4. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book, even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro. Knowledge shall be increased. Then I, Daniel, looked, and behold, there stood other two, one on this side of the bank of the river, the other on that side of the bank of the river. And the one said to the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, how long shall it be to the end of these wonders? And I heard the man clothed in linen, which was upon the waters of the river, when he held up his right hand, his left hand to heaven, swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, times and a half. And when he shall have accomplished to scatter the power of the holy people, all these things shall be finished. And I heard, but I understood not. Then said I, O my Lord, what shall be the end of these things? And he said, go thy way, Daniel, for the words are closed up and sealed until the time of the end. Many shall be purified, made white, tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand. And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, that is, from the time that there will be no more of the shedding of the animal till the Lord comes Himself, from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,335 days. But go thy way till the end be, for thou shalt rest and stand in thy lot at the end of the days. The faith of this man Daniel. The book of Daniel is, as far as the book of the Revelation, hand in glove. Much of the things that set forth in Daniel revealed in the book of the Revelation. The time of the end. What's going to happen exactly? We don't know. They were shut up. They were told Daniel, but he couldn't write them. But we do know this. God's people set forth by Daniel, a man of faith that believed God, rested. All God's people looked forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever happens in this life, will the tribulation be in our lifetime? I don't know. I'm telling you, I think that we're going through great tribulation right now. But I do know this. Almighty God's not going to leave His people. He's not going to forsake His people. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to have His own. May the Lord bless these words to our heart for Christ's sake.